somewhere.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin.
Morning, Jay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jay.
Love your show, Jay.
It's really great to listen to you.
And I appreciate what you do on the radio.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
The Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Erin Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's a holiday. We can talk about Shanahan leaving the Denver Broncos. I'm happy to listen to your commiseration. I'm also happy to listen, if you're not a football fan, on what you would turn his house into. I think a museum and football field, I mean a fantasy football league, would be great to put in there, wouldn't it? It's 303-713-7600. By the way, the Israeli Defense Force has launched a YouTube channel showing the Gaza assault. They have also been trying to explain the situation on Twitter, which is a very short amount of characters, like less than 100, I think, character new fangled website. I'm just getting used to Facebook, okay? Part of it is I love working, and please go to erinhartshow.com, erin@erinhartshow.com. Those emails will reach me now live on the radio. If you want to communicate, if you want to join the mailing list, please do. You can do so from my website. Love to hear from you. Love to keep in touch as I fill in. Now, or, you know, work somewhere new. I have this topic in mind, and here's what it is. It strikes me that the year 2008 was unusual because what it did was women came to the fore in a way unlike I can remember any other. In almost every arena, in entertainment, in culture, iconism, on the media, in politics, in a way, it's almost as if with Barack Obama's candidacy, we also got a huge amount of influence from the women, the women's movement, and the women's community, and the women's and feminists. And the reality is, you know, I don't look at myself as, look, I think there ought to be more female talk show hosts always, but and more female politicians. But I'm not necessarily arguing for quotas, mind you. It's just that I found it intriguing, the emphasis and the import and the effect that women had on this election. I started thinking about the year in review. And almost every time I came up with a quote that I wanted to hear that wasn't something horrifying like Dick Cheney saying, so, you know, I tortured, so, you know, or Bush sounding stupid about fill in the blank, I thought of all the different sound that I would like to hear again, and I was kind of surprised because, and maybe this is because I have female ears myself, but most everything I wanted to hear again had women in it. And I don't think I'm alone in this because I just to make sure I didn't fantasize it the other day, I watched Keith Olbermann's Favorite People of 2008 again last night while I was getting ready for the show. And he, too, picked a lot of women because women mattered this election. They really did matter. Now, they didn't inherit the helm at Meet the Press, but Rachel Maddow got her own show and does many things, I think, that I have done in one fashion or another for a while. And I just like her. I think she's very smart. I think she's very engaging. I like her presentation. I like her style. I know Dan Abrams personally, so I'm sorry he lost his show. I know what that feels like. So I'll send a shout out to Dan and hope he gets better in 2009 as well. But I was stunned when I thought about it, how much women influenced this election. The candidacy of Hillary Clinton, of course, being first and foremost from what you think about, but also Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin had an undeniable effect on this election, both in a good and positive way. There were arguments about whether you can have five children and run for office, which I thought was specious and stupid. Thank you very much, Sally Quinn of The Washington Post. But I think also there were questions about her. I fell for one of them, the internet speculation that, you know, that her daughter wasn't really having the baby, that she had had the baby, that Bristol, you know, gave birth to the baby that is, you know, Sarah Palin's last child, which, you know, that internet, you know, and the whole her whole getting on a plane in Texas and how that became part of the argument. Now, but she herself, the minute she stepped into the national spotlight, caused huge amounts of controversy. Undeniably charismatic, amazingly engaging, good telegenically, but really a lightweight, just blowing the wind. When it came to substance, and actually it was a woman, yes, Charlie Gibson nailed her on a few questions, but it took Katie Couric to really rip her mask off. And in the finest job I think Katie Couric has ever done as an anchor, or one of them anyway, she gently but surely asked decent, regular, standard, and also a bit probing questions, and just systematically peeled the layers off of Sarah Palin so that what was revealed was someone who nobody wants to be a heartbeat away from the president, at least not yet. Now, I want her to run again and again and again because I find her so entertaining as a talk show host. She's going to provide me material from now until, you know, whenever. So I please run again and again and again because you're hilarious. I mean, in just in case you think she stopped being controversial, just call up in your mind that image of her standing on Thanksgiving in front of a turkey and having them slaughtered behind her when she was talking about the campaign. It's just really, really funny. So the topic we're going to go to next, and I'll take a few calls on anything. You can really talk about anything. But during the last parts of the show, we're going to play Sound of 2008 from the many women that affected this campaign. And if any of yours come to mind, please let us know. And if we can scare up the sound on YouTube, we'll replay it for you or in John Turk's vast treasure trove of sound. But for first and foremost, Garrett, I'm going to ask you to play it when we come back from the break this time. We'll play a blast from the sound from females in 2008 that you'll no doubt recognize. Now, I really want to talk to Candyman as well because he's talking about our topic from last hour about who's going to be the next senator of the United States of America representing the great state of Colorado. Candyman, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
How are you, Aaron?
I'm well, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I want to speak to Governor Ritter filling the vacancy of Salazar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's fair for the county chair to get on the radio and pick someone when, for an example, she has not gone to the sub-districts. And I speak to this. Saturday, Sub-District A, 7A, and 7B met, and we voice voted for Mike Miles. Now, Mike Miles, somehow or another, someone has kicked him to the curb. This gentleman has ran for the Senate seat against Salazar.
And lost.
To my estimation, he should have won.
Right, right. But
there were some problems. No, there were some problems there, but I won't go into detail in dealing with that.
All right.
But I just feel that both media, both the printed media and talk, and on the radio and television, has not really given this man a voice.
Well, we mentioned him a lot on Friday.
Can you just stop talking for a minute?
We talked about him on Friday. So we did talk about him. He was mentioned. Again, I will point out many people think he's too liberal to win on a statewide basis. What do you say to that?
Well, that's not the point. I think
it is the point. It is the point. Races in Colorado cost about $6 million. And whether you like it or not, the ability of a candidate to attract money and support across our great state is really very important, extremely important.
Allow me to ask you this. Do you think just putting a professional politician in place that we're going to have change in this country?
Well, I happen to like Andrew Romanov, so if you want to call him a professional...
Answering my question. Yes or no, do you think...
I don't think in terms like that, and I refuse to answer questions that I don't... feel like answering. So, no, I'm not going to answer you just because you want me to.
Allow me to speak to this point.
Okay.
Just recently, the Congress has voted themselves a $4,000 raise. Now, everybody is struggling, and they're tightening the belt and biting the bullet and what have you. Now, if we continue to put these politicians in, then we are going to get the same type of results, needed be Democratic or Republican. And I think it's an insult when... For an example, our so-called leaders in the Democrat continue doing the same thing that the Republicans are doing. Let's get to the grassroots and see what the people at the bottom are talking about, the ones that do the grunt work, to go out and talk to the voters and what have you.
On that, we absolutely agree. You're absolutely right. You should have your say, and I'm glad you are.
I would suggest to you and all media that's listening at this particular time, bring Mike Miles on. The man is overqualified.
You know, Mike
Miles,
if I bring one on, I'm going to bring them all on.
Then
so just to let you know,
but none of them
are going on because none of them are going to lobby for it. So
that would be fair, but to get on and allow just one person to endorse someone else and not getting the whole field. Everyone should run. In fact,
I've mentioned quite a few people. I will continue to that. But she's also entitled to call up this radio show and say who she She's the head of the Denver County Democrats, Candyman. I refuse to apologize for getting her expert opinion.
I'm a committee person, been in the Democratic Party for a long time.
And
I know who she is.
And I'm really glad you're calling up. I will also note that you're using an alias. Do you want to use your real name? I'm happy to have you call up and state your business. But I've had email from people wanting State Senator-elect Morgan Carroll for the U.S. Senate seat. Certainly people have mentioned...
on your part? Is this an interrogation? Oh, I want you to use your real name? And
no, I just said wanted to know...
Why would you even mention
Because you
like
mentioned
that?
Your qualifications, and I just felt like if you wanted to reveal who you were welcome to do that, too. That's all. It's not an interrogation. You're really being paranoid. It's not an interrogation at all.
No,
my name's Erin Hart,
Erin Hart.
You know, so whatever. You know, I understand what you're saying. I understand also that you feel as though your guy is not getting enough attention. I will tell you that four people on Friday called me up and hawked his candidacy. I think that's fine. I let them all have their say. I let you have your say. I think that Governor Ritter will pick who he's winning, and I will bet you probably he won't pick your guy. But just knowing what I know about the governor, knowing what I know about Colorado state politics, I will bet you that he will not get the nod. But I do agree with you that extremes to be very popular with the progressive movement, and I think that's great, and I hope he gets another shot to run for elected office, and I hope one day he wins. But he may not get appointed Senate from Colorado this time around.
Well, Mike Miles is of mixed blood, and that's the same thing that Obama was faced with, too. Can a black man in this country become president? Well, this is sad and pathetic, and it's happening.
So you think it's because, wait a minute.
The problem is, lady.
Excuse me, Wellington Webb got elected mayor of Denver. I'm sorry, excuse me, is that not true that Wellington Webb wasn't mayor of Denver for two terms? Is that not true?
If for an example, we have in this country, the Senate is 100 senators in the Senate.
I understand.
How many black people?
How many women are there?
Oh, okay, there are 16 women in the Senate.
And how many women are there?
Women.
Not enough.
And what
do we represent? I understand.
No,
I think it ought to be more fair.
It's obvious that you don't.
I do understand. I think it ought to be more fair, and I think there ought to be. Look, I would advocate. You want to know what I advocate? Candyman, I advocate giving there's a program in South Dakota that encourages people to run who can't afford to run. And here's what they do. The party pays their salary for a year so that they can run, so that not only wealthy people will run for the Senate, too, which I also think is a great idea. I think a lot of it has to do with the class system. I think a lot of it has to do with money. And I think one thing that I love that Barack Obama has done for all of us who are concerned about politics and the welfare of our country is that he has freed people to run. He's not a child of privilege. He's not a man of great wealth. He certainly made millions from writing his book and deserved to because they're both very well written. But
he's an advocate of public financing, which in turn will cure the problem. And we would not have the situation that we're dealing with at the present time with the Bush administration. It had it been public funding. But we have to be fair about what we do in this country. It has to start. That's what he advocates, too. He's not interested in quotas, really. He's interested. Let's have a line, a starting line, and everybody comes to that line, not somebody behind and somebody forward of the starting line.
And thank you very much for that point. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and your help. Happy New Year. It's 21 past the hour. I'm Erin Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. It's 303-713-7600. Yes, we should have a more diverse, more gender-friendly Senate. Absolutely. Rwanda put in laws guaranteeing more women, female participation. Should we do that? I don't know. We're going to talk about the year of women, too, in politics, and certainly the influence of people of color in the race, too, was extremely important. I think a lot of people have discussed that a lot, though. What struck me was how influential women were as well. Come to think of it, Michelle Obama had quite an impact as well. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
Yeah! That was the great hunter from a helicopter, Sarah Palin, that great woman who stands in front of dying turkeys, decapitated turkeys, as she spouts off about, oh, yeah, I'm just so folksy, yeah, like me anything, yeah. Ugh, I hope they toss her out on her bum in Alaska, except then she'll be out of the public eye, and I'll miss her terribly because she was so much fun to make up fun of. I mean, Barack Obama, no doubt, had the biggest impact on our lives in this last year in the election in terms of the way his grace, his intelligence, his focus, that amazing speech he gave in the wake of his New Hampshire defeat after winning in Iowa and stunning many, except people like me who thought he would win the election from the very beginning. And I tried to get something off the ground that didn't quite work in terms of that, but I really admire and respect him. I think Barack Obama has changed us, our country, for the better on a lot of levels. So he, I think, had the greatest impact in many ways. But I really believe that women also had a huge influence on the way that this election went, and in no small part because we voted in droves for Barack Obama, even though there was a prominent woman in the race as well. And there was a big controversy about that, too. Now, that was, of course, the voice of Sarah Palin. She was one of my favorite picks for influencing the election. But we're gonna hear some other sound from the year as we go along today in the show. And we'll play them coming in and out of breaks to sort of take you back down, strolling back down memory lane. But when you think about it, really, women had a huge influence, and it wasn't only Sarah Palin. It was also the amazingly talented Tina Fey and Amy Poehler of the cast. Well, Tina Fey, graduate of the cast and now of 30 Rock, and she's a writer, a director, a producer. I mean, this woman is a triple threat in the entertainment business and gets her stuff done, gets it carried. That is changing. I mean, Goldie Hawn, Barbara Streisand, there used to be that there were only a handful of women who could get movies made, who could get TV series on the air. She's done all of those things. Sandra Bullock also does it. I mean, it's starting to change as women grow more powerful and take the reins of their own destinies. And certainly Tina Fey agreeing to come back because she so remarkably resembles Sarah Palin. But, you know, there are some, me included, that think that Tina Fey had and folks like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, perhaps, had a huge impact on this election. Certainly Saturday Night Live was a big winner in 2008. They had a resurgence, the highest ratings they have had in eons, if ever. And part of it was the talent and the dead-on accuracy, because it isn't only that Tina Fey remarkably resembles Sarah Palin. She does her to such a T that you immediately, and by the way, many times when she was parodying Sarah Palin, she used the exact words of Sarah Palin to do so, which is, again, the mark of great comedy, I think, is its grounding in truth. And that's why she was so dead on accurate and so funny. She was amazing. Time to go to Steve on a cell phone. Thanks for joining us, Steve. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am well, Steve. You?
Hanging in there, going to work today.
Good man.
I know it.
We're all working. I'm gonna go home, though, buy some logs, make some black-eyed peas, and hunker down to prep for tomorrow.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to give a shout-out to the women out there that did help Obama get elected. I think women are kind of the unsung heroes of this country, that the ones that have families, I think they knew the ramifications of this election. And, you know, they've been dealing with a lot of stress trying to hold the family unit together. Mm. And I'm talking about working people, you know? And I think that they...
You mean the rest of us as opposed to... Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, I just feel like... I know in my family, my wife is really kind of the rock, the one that keeps everything going, you know? And I think that's the case for a lot of women out there. There's been a lot of stress out there about finances and, you know, the future. And I think they put a lot of thought into, you know, which direction we were going, trying to hold on to their family unit.
You know, I have to tell you, when I watched Barack Obama again, I will hearken back to him. But one of the things that I think he understood very well was how the mood of the country changed after that September day when Lehman Brothers failed. And, you know, look at what's happening now. I mean, Kara Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon, whom I know to speak to slightly, both lost everything they own. Those, you know, I mean, and they're pretty powerful Hollywood players. And they just lost, well, they actually live in New York, but they lost everything they own. You know what I mean? It's like this has touched people all through all ranges of our economic strata. But what was, before I got sidetracked with that comment, I think the point I was trying to make was when Barack Obama knew when Lehman Brothers failed and when people knew that they were going to start hurting, and he had an idea because he was getting briefed on how bad it really was. And perhaps some of it had to do with the death of his grandmother, too. But when he gave the speech in Grant Park, he was somber. He didn't allow fireworks. Did you know that he put kibosh on fireworks? He kept that celebration. People needed to explode, but he also contained it. And the reason that they did that was because they were trying to send a strong message to the country that they understood the pain that we were in and that we're going to be in for. You know what I mean? And I just think he's got a great ear for people. And I think Jennifer was onto something in the last hour when she said he really understands grassroots organizing. He really knows how to listen to people like your wife, like you, like me. People, you know, what are our issues? What are we concerned about? What keeps us up in the middle of the night? And over and over again, I also heard Michelle Obama speak to that very clearly because she's a working mother and has been torn between her own career and caring for her girls who are her priority, you know, and the kinds of things that they spoke about. I'm just really glad that we finally have a regular, everyday person in the Oval Office. I know Clinton was, too, up by the bootstraps, but he was a lifelong politician. Barack Obama's a little different, I think. But anyway.
I'd just like to say one more thing. I hope Bush is happy that, you know, with the legacy he's going to live with. You know,
I don't think he even gets it. I really don't, Steve. I don't think he'll get it
until he gets out of office. That's when I think he'll get it.
Well, I don't know. He is one of the most. I mean, have you seen that Chris Matthews year-end special? It ran day before yesterday. It was really stunning at how much this man was a denier-in-chief and the delegator-in-chief. He had no idea. You know, sometimes what he was doing. He just went by his gut instincts. And you know what? He lost the country after Katrina, and he never really got us back and should not have. In my mind, he should have lost in 2000 and did not win in 2000. So, but it sure took a long time for the chickens to come home to roast.
I wish Laura Bush would have grabbed him by the ear.
Yeah, me too.
I'm serious. My wife, when I get out of line... She's right on top of me.
Sounds like Michelle Obama. Sounds like Michelle Obama's from the same school of keep your man in line kind of
exactly.
school of thought. Yeah, I think we can do that for each other in all fairness. The best men I have ever dated were ones who spoke up and let me know. You know, the ones who inspire you to appeal to the better angels of your nature rather than the worser ones.
I agree.
I think. Okay, well, a happy New Year, Steve.
Yeah, you too.
Enjoy.
Yeah, okay, you too.
Okay, it's a year in review, and I'm trying to do a little different thing since I happen to be a woman myself. But mostly because when I started thinking about the sounds of 2008, certainly Barack Obama's speech, pretty much pick any one of them. The one that's, I agree with my favorite, oh God, he's even my media crush, and now I can't remember his name. Damn! He's from Newsweek. He's kind of geeky looking. He wears glasses. He's got salt and pepper hair. You know who I'm... Oh, Richard Wolff. So anyway, he was saying yesterday that speech in New Hampshire, that's the one that Will.i.am turned into, and can I add that to the list, Garrett, the Will.i.am song, Yes We Can? Because I'd like to hear that again, just for me. I want to hear that Will.i.am. Because that was the viral video. You remember when the Hollywood celebrities and everyone else sang Yes We Can? You just cried. I cried so much. I think I cried for good reasons more from this election than I ever have. You know what I mean? We literally sat around and cried when Obama won, the 91, I went to a party. Normally I watch the elections biting my fingernails by myself, but or with whoever I'm with. But I went to a party, and I sat down, and we just cried. We at the party, we just wept in joy and relief that Barack Obama is going to be the president of the United States. I can't say it enough.
You know, I have so many opportunities from this country. I just don't want to see us fall backwards. You know? So.
And that was the human moment that probably saved Hillary Rodham Clinton's run.
This is very personal for me. It's not just political. It's not just public. I see what's happening. And we have to reverse it. And some people think elections are a game. They think it's like who's up or who's down. It's about our country. It's about our kids' futures. It's really about all of us together. You know, some of us put ourselves out there and do this against some pretty difficult odds.
Thank you very much. That was Hillary Rodham Clinton crying, tearing up. And I didn't think that was wrong. I you know, the days when Pat Schroeder shed a tear and that ended her run for presidency are gone. People are allowed to be emotional now. Cool. But I really think that it helped her. It helped her. The problem that didn't help her was the people running her campaign. And actually, a couple of women figured into that. Patty Solice Doyle did not serve her well as campaign manager, allegedly holed up and watched soaps while some of the men around her, including Mark Penn, who I think was the Machiavellian behind the piece, and oh, God, what's his name? Who got so mad at the DNC meetings. I can see his face, but I can't. He's a prominent associate of the Clintons and the son of a prominent politician. I'll think Harold Dickies. So in any event, I think one of the things that that influenced it was the infighting of Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign and the fact that as a manager, she didn't handle that very well, I think it's safe to say. And the other problem is, which still annoys, I know, those of you who supported Hillary Rodham Clinton, but her big problem, Hillary Clinton's, was that they did not figure out until way too late in the game that it was the caucus states, stupid. It was the states that made the states like the one where I live now in Washington, D.C., Washington State, that mattered. That mattered because it was the count. It was the count of delegates. You know, when you're playing poker and when the counting's done, it's who has the best hand. And the reality is what David Plouffe's genius was in terms of running Barack Obama's campaign and David Axelrod, they were sort of like a triumvirate, but also helped by others like Valerie Jarrett, another big influence, big supporter of the Obama family, another big female support. She'll be a senior aide in the White House and not a press person. She will be a senior aide. That's pretty cool, pretty amazing. His certainly his cabinet is very diverse and features a lot of women, up to and including his former rival for the president of the United States, said Hillary Clinton. Now, she made that comment in the wake of her resounding defeat in Iowa. Remember when John Edwards was still not disgraced and in the race? Again, a woman influenced it. Certainly, and I do know Rael, whatever her last name is, slightly under her former name. We worked together at the same place in New York a couple of times. And you know, it's really weird that John Edwards would fall for doing something that stupid and that heinous, quite frankly, to Elizabeth Edwards. I just found that particularly foolish and sad and disheartening. But, you know, and it happened after he was a candidate, so I'll leave it alone now, but it would have torpedoed his chances. And I can't believe he dared to do that. Can you imagine how much he would have ruined the Democratic Party if he had prevailed? Ugh. That's one reason why there was something about him I didn't quite want to go for. And I felt sorry for her. I think one of the decisions that I saw as being raw, naked, political lust speaking of lust, was that he wanted it so badly that he actually asked his wife, who has stage 4 cancer. That's as bad as it gets, folks. That's like you have a finite amount of time, more than likely. Stage 4 cancer, to hop back on the campaign trail, knowing that he had cheated on her. Knowing that he had cheated on her. I just, 303-713-7600. So that was a low light of to the 2008 campaign. And again, male, female, yin and yang. The female influence, so Hillary Clinton, we all owe her a great debt. She did put 18 million cracks in the glass ceiling. But she also ran a campaign riven with infighting and, I think, crippled and handicapped by not understanding the math. They thought they could sweep and win on Super Tuesday, and they did not. They did not win. They lost. They lost big time. They lost badly. And they did it because, and they were losing all along. There was no way after a certain point in late, maybe mid-February or March, where they could have recouped the number of delegates. But she hung in. Now, I was kind of annoyed with her for doing that, but I thought it was her right to do. However, I understood it more fully in her concession speech when she made that famous statement, you know, we put 18 million cracks in the ceiling. That is a very powerful message to send to little girls and little boys watching television. I'm going to get choked up. As a matter of fact, I think that more than anything affects me. I said yesterday that one of my most moving moments, my memorable moments of 2008, was watching an 18-year-old student become a delegate to represent Barack Obama. Because my nephew voted for the first time in this election. My other nephew certainly stumped for Obama. It just, people got involved. People cared. And I think little children growing up will always now know that a woman can be president of the United States and deserves to be, and that an African-American man can run for a biracial man can run for office and be elected president of the United States. We have ripped down that barrier, and we have not removed the stain of slavery from the United States' history. But we have healed ourselves in a very new way. And that, my friends, means yes, we can, and change has come to America. It remains to be seen whether it will be morning again in America, given all of our current challenges. But I am moved to tears still by the changes that were wrought during this election by you, by me, by the citizens of this country, by a movement that came out of the people and for the people rather than imposed top-down on the people, Karl Rove and other Machiavellian people who would control us and tell us not to vote and try to keep us from voting at the ballot box. You are forever, I hope, put into another kind of category, into the history books. I never, ever want to see those kinds of machinations ruin our elections ever, ever again. And wherever you are, Sandra Day O'Connor, you too are partially responsible for this because of the incredible stupidity that you had to vote the way you did in the year 2000.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. I was so excited when I was told Senator Clinton and I would be addressing you tonight. And I was told...
This is my favorite pageant ever. I mean, certainly she was... That was Tina Fey with Amy Poehler, who gave birth after she did the hip-hop rap. The mother humping moose, that one, gave birth the week after, as I recall. They were both wonderful. Amy Poehler as Hillary Clinton, Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. If you've never seen the Saturday Night Live parody, you absolutely must. Now, Saturday Night Live, please get an actor who can actually do Barack Obama, preferably an African-American or biracial one. Please. You know, no offense to the guy who plays him, but you're just not capturing him, and no. Okay, Bill in Denver, thank you for holding, my friend. Welcome. It's a holiday. Happy New Year. Bill?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay. Hey, a little while ago, somebody was talking about the Bush legacy, and I actually believe that President Bush is very happy with his legacy. It's just not the legacy that you or I wanted him to have.
Oh, he thinks he's divinely inspired. Of that, I'm convinced. He really thinks God told him what to do. I believe that.
I'm not sure about that. But if you believe that, if you would accept that his legacy or his own sense of his legacy is all about the money, specifically the money that he's been able to funnel toward his corporate cronies. It's been staggering amounts of money. Dick Cheney, through the war, has made millions of dollars through through the Dubai company of Halliburton. The pharmaceutical industry, massive amounts of money.
The war profiteering alone, and you know, watch where they go to work. Watch where Cheney goes to work. Watch where Bush works.
The amount of money, at the very last moments of his administration, $700 billion going to his rich, well-connected Republican banker cronies. Vast amounts of money. And it's just that, well, I got a perspective some time back. I'm a little embarrassed to say, but I was driving along and there was somebody with a sign and they were begging for money. And I drove by and I had contempt for this person. And it was almost like getting hit with a cattle prod. It occurred to me at that moment that that's how the wealthy, well-connected Republicans view me. The same way that I was viewing that panhandler.
We have 1 minute. I know what you're saying, and we all have to watch that. We have to watch that cold-hearted disdain. We very much do, and that's a good thing for all of us to carry in as a New Year's message.
It's all about the money with the Bushies.
Thank you so much for that message, and thank you so much for that call, and I appreciate it, Bill. Happy New Year. I'm Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Don't forget we'll have Sustainable Dave tomorrow to welcome the new year, or maybe the day after. I'm going to give him the option. I don't want him to have to get knocked out of bed too early because it's earlier for us on the left coast. It's 303-713-7600.